Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Sunday evening once again, and this is Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. I'm Gwen Berry. I'm the producer and the big mouth. And with me today is F. Wayne. Okay, I'm doing the blog posts here. It's Wayne Johnson, my regular co-host. We are very sorry, and we wish Jack Jodell well. He's still recovering from this damn allergy season. He's really down with it. And our guest today is one of our favorite people, Ronald Feynman, Professor Ronald Feynman. He is the progressive professor blog. He's also a presidential authority and historian and author. And he's joining us today for this week's, you know, smash and grab on politics with, I mean, come on, it really is, what the fuck, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to say, Gwen and Wayne, thank you for inviting me. This is the seventh time I've been on the show, and I've loved it every time.
Oh,
well,
my,
we're right back at you, Professor.
We're going to have to co-host you out here, dude. I mean, this week, and I wanted to grab into this before because I know when we get into it, we get kind of lost, and I did schedule an extra few minutes today. There was absolutely the most stunning part of the whole week was Michelle Obama.
Yes.
She addressed the current social malaise with such elegance and sincerity and great art that she has brought the country around looking at things through a much crisper lens, in my opinion.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And people have, and I know I posted this Professor Feynman's page. He had posted a piece on it where, you know, Trump was rat-a-tat-tatting off or whatever and talking about, I'm not sure the actual post, but here's the thing. People are want to say with Trump and his obvious sexual predator issues that are going on and plaguing him right now, that the women who support him are, you know, white trash, addicts, bimbos, uneducated. And on the top of it, that's not true. But here's the thing. A majority of those women, in my opinion, and I think it bears pretty staggering numbers of truth, those women who are supporting Trump and so vociferously and so energetically in many ways right now represent a group of battered and oppressed women who are merely looking for their partners' acquiescence and support for them as just, you know, can I survive this as they do each day that they get up in their, you know, living the lives that they are choosing, but they're battered women, they're abused women, many of them, and they're only looking for their partners, you know, don't hit me now kind of routine.
Right.
Extremely
right.
Sad and tragic, it really is.
Right. Yeah, low self-esteem is really what it is.
And as the official booga booga woman here, the yaya queen, if you will, I would tell you that a lot of the problems, of course, this is not an intellectual but a spiritual point of view that I'm going to put. The fear that we are going through right now and all of this, social fear, I mean, it's out there in our communities right now. This is tearing apart families. This is tearing apart friends. This is a brutal, brutal, brutal season. And what most people are really fearing right now is the love. And that's the point of view. When you look at a campaign that says, we are stronger together, that the other is not your enemy, that there are solutions to be found in acceptance of one another, to as a base foundation, when people resent that, when people want to use that as a way to whack everything wrong with our political system, and God knows there's so much, what they fear is really the love. And I just wanted to say that, guys, because that's my job. Uh-huh.
I agree with you completely. Yeah. I actually agree with you,
I was going to say, Gwen, let's search on social media, you know, right now, there's those of the Trump camp saying, well, if Hillary wins, we're going to, you know, be basically a terrorist. They're going to promote out-and-out overthrow violence of the existing government because they're not going to be her. She's not going to be their president and all this kind of stuff. And I made the comment. It was on a site the professor was on. And I made the comment, and I said, you know, in this day and age where we now have, you know, the FBI will tell you their biggest fear is the Bubba bombers. You know, those like those that were arrested trying to blow up the mosque here in Kansas, right? You know, there's going to be a rise of that kind of thing. And I can tell you right now, I'm a dollar to a donut. The FBI is collecting names right now. They've got they're armed with the Patriot Act that says they can search and surveil emails, phone calls. You know, social media's aspect, and they're making a list. And I can tell you right now, these that are coming out, I'm going to overthrow the government, and I'm in a militia here. These people are already sinking themselves because they've
including
made it
Sheriff
known.
Clark, Sheriff Clark in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I could not believe that he was talking about this. You know, and then I had somebody I know who was who was a police officer who was defending him and saying, you know, I was just so dismayed by that. You know.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean,
they're on the watch. They're going to be watching these people. And the thing is, it's just like with the Black Panthers. They will plant somebody in it. They might even say, hey, I can get you a bomb here, right? Oh, hell, that's a great idea, right? You know, I'll blow up this mosque, okay? You know, the FBI with their front man, their man undercover, will give this guy a bomb. They'll catch him riding down the road. They'll arrest him, and now his ass is in jail.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that I published on History News Network, and so far this year I've done amazingly. I can't believe it, 40 articles this year, basically every week, an article about the fact that his refusal, Trump, to concede or indicate he will not concede, even though Mike Pence says he would, but he's saying he wouldn't, is that this has never happened. No matter how bitter things have been, it's always been that the loser concedes. They are not happy campers, of course. But they don't say that it's illegitimate, and we refuse to accept. McCain accepted Obama, Romney accepted Obama. They weren't happy, but they accepted. And this would be unprecedented for him to, you know, to make this an issue that would that could arouse millions of people to rise up. In theory, it's very scary.
Right.
Well,
oh, absolutely.
I understand, Ron, as you told us before we went on air. Oh dear.
What is that?
That is somebody on my roof that I thought had already left, but you'll have to.
Well, we'll talk through it.
No, please do. No, but you know, the thing that's very valuable here is the fact that Trump has a new tax. On the Drudge Report, did you say, Ron?
I saw on Facebook that there's apparently a Drudge, who, of course, we all know who he is saying he's got dirt on Hillary about her, not about Bill, but about her sex life, making it out like she is a lesbian who has exploited young girls and tied them up and had them, perform oral sex on her and all kinds of things that the way it's described, it makes you want to throw up. It really does. You know, it's disgusting.
First of all, I do apologize to the listeners about the background here. To think of it as thunder and lightning from the Valkyrie. first of all, I'd like to point out that this is ancient information, and especially within a lesbian community. And
right.
the other part about this is, I think that if this did come up via debate or something to her face, that she would merely say, "And so what if I were?"
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I
like
mean,
I said, I remember when this kind of first came about. That's a Rush Limbaugh, you know, I'm going to plant a little seed of titillating innuendos. And, of course, you know, the nihilistic conservatives just run with it as if it were a fact and repeat it. You know, the old typical Nazi, you tell a big enough lie often enough, then people start believing it as being true, you know.
That's
and,
Trump now.
You know, repeat it. And
Trump
that
lies 91% of the time, yeah.
Exactly. Well, this is Joseph Goebbels, and they called it the science of propaganda back then.
Well, like mm-hmm. my dear departed mother used to say, what is he, freaking around on both sides of the sheet, you could label me there. And I'll tell you something. There's something they call gaydar. And I've been in the
yeah.
room with a lady, and she's not gay. There's not,
no.
not Hillary Clinton isn't gay. But
no.
I do think that
she's... But my thought is, who is she is?
That's it. I think she would.
Eleanor Roosevelt apparently was both ways. Who cares? She was a great
exactly.
first lady, and so was Hillary.
And,
you know?
And did a lot for mankind in general, period.
As Hillary has done, yes.
I will tell you this. I do think that the most eloquent and politically in the moment, the very best first lady we have ever had spoke this past week. I really
yes.
think so. And I'm a great admirer of Eleanor Roosevelt. And Hillary wasn't bad. And look at all the art and all of the arts that Jacqueline Kennedy brought into our communities.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been, and Laura Bush was no slouch. I think there's been some fabulous first ladies and those that stand out, but I think the very best brought it to the microphone this last week.
Yes. In fact,
yes.
I'm writing an article on my Progressive Professor to put on later tonight about her, about Michelle Obama.
Good.
And I'm planting the seeds because I like to cause trouble that she might run for public office someday in the future when Sasha's out of high school. People say she won't. She says she won't. But 4 to 8 years from now, how do you know she wouldn't run for the Senate or something higher? You don't know.
And
well,
it could very well be a possibility.
I think it's very telling that the Obamas have purchased a home in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's
yeah.
supposed to be because of Sasha being in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be the reason.
I think that's very good for Barack Obama, who doesn't want to stop kicking the tires and lighting the fires myself. But and good and real good. There's another thing that happened this week, too. There was an exceedingly large, another WikiLeaks email dump. And
yeah, I don't think they've got much validity. I think they're finding that you know, you can even trace the Kremlin or, you know, Russia's hackers on that.
Well, yes, apparently so.
And it can even be embellished, you know, embellished, modified. So just because WikiLeaks is releasing it doesn't mean it's accurate and true. No, first it's gone through basically Russia's CIA.
Well, that's true, but I do think that they're probably mostly credible. The thing is how they were dumped and the sequence in which they were dumped, what's left in and what's left out. And also I think it brings a bigger light onto Julian Assange and what he's doing from the Ecuadorian embassy in London. I mean, if people do not realize the kind of military and special ops that is invested in Britain by this country and the British themselves,
right.
you know, he might be angling for a way to gain back some freedom a la Edward Snowden, although I don't class him the same as that American hero. I do actually think that he's got, you know, an agenda with this. I do think he's doing this through Russian hands, and I don't give it. But if you take a look at these emails, it's politics as usual, and there's no smoking gun in there at all.
No.
And so, but it is the extreme left has a lot of great points to make, and the Bernie people have a lot of great points to make. But the only thing to that is that this is pre-DNC convention, pre-New Democratic Platform, which is now exceedingly progressive.
Yes.
And it puts, the only thing that's going to put shame to it is the fact that when she gets into office, she begins to implement them. And she uses that platform to do it with, because that's the foundation she gave us. And I don't think she'll turn around on it a bit.
No. They're going to lock arms, because Bernie is going to be very influential in the Senate. And, you know, especially if for this election, the Democrats take over the House and the Senate.
It's going to be hard to take over the House, though. That's going to be quite a big 30-seat gain. I hope, but I doubt it.
Well, and I obviously, Professor, you know, I definitely concede to your expertise. I'm just hoping upon hope that at least you get a good majority and then some normal Republicans with some sanity that are willing to work with everybody to move this country forward.
Well, that's another issue, you know, about Paul Ryan against Trump and Trump trashing Ryan. Not that I'm a Ryan fan, but he's sort of like more of the mainstream. But he could be out, you know, if the Tea Party people get more seats in the House or they have fewer Republican seats, it could be the extremists will have the seats and the moderates or the Ryan types will be gone.
That's a very good point, Professor. And, I concede to your expertise on this.
Well, you know,
that's very concerning.
There is a fraction, a big fracture in the Republican Party. We're watching it. They've made this bed. Bless their hearts. Let them lie in it. The other part about it is that, I mean, not all of the evangelical or Christian community is standing with this buffoon. And they're shocked his representation is. I mean, Liberty University. Okay, you know, y'all know.
That's Jerry Falwell's mind control zombie land.
The students there are rising up against Jerry Falwell Jr. They don't like Trump. I was impressed by that.
I would point that out. There's another topic I hope we do get to today, too, which is shocking to me and extraordinarily incredible, and that's that you've got some people who are being threatened with, including Amy Goodman, jail for coverage of this Dakota Pipeline thing that's going out in Rock.
Yeah.
And that's an atrocity. That's atrocious. And
Gwen or Professor, help me out here. How is she being threatened for jail for publishing newsworthy or reporting it?
I'm not quite clear on it myself.
I am not actually quite clear on it either. I mean, you know, I read about it, but
you know, how can you suppress your freedom of speech, the freedom of our press? What
Donald Trump wants to do that? I think a lot of those right wing Republicans want to get rid of the First Amendment. You know.
Well, it is detrimental to what they want to try to achieve, but. You know, truth and facts doesn't really lie well with them.
You're correct. And the thing is that Native Americans have been so badly mistreated, and it's as if the treaties don't matter. You know, it's just unbelievable, outrageous, you know.
Well, she got to the site, and she was covering it when those dogs were let loose. And it's the Sacred Stone Spirit Camp, and none of the major broadcast networks were out there. No one sent anybody. Still haven't, except MSNBC. She was standing at the edge of a grassy plain that was in the process of being churned into gullies of dirt, reporting. And what happened she was confronted by the force of a private security contractor. By the way, there were a lot of what you might call Indian scabs in that crowd, wielding attack dogs and pepper spray.
Oh, gosh.
It's like the old Pinkerton guards during the coal mine wars.
Yes, yes, it is.
That's something a lot of people don't even know about, the coal mine wars of a century ago. It was unbelievable what went on in Colorado and what went on in West Virginia.
I was going to say, my dad's from West Virginia. My grandfather was a unionized coal miner, and so was his oldest son. So I grew up learning these stories.
Yeah.
Can you believe that up there, man? I mean, well, it's 6 o'clock. It's time for air. Sorry, guys. On September 8th, after all this had gone on air and everything, Amy was served with a warrant for her arrest, and the charge was riot. They included her as part of rioting, you know, like the rest of those are being charged. The original charge was not riot, but criminal trespass, a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor also to be charged with riot there. It was just a few days before she was set to appear in court that the prosecutor, Ladd Erickson, switched up the charges because he admitted in an email to Goodman's lawyers that there were legal issues with proving the notice of trespassing requirements in the statute, which makes no sense. And they basically accuse her of being just a basic protester, and everything she reported on was from the position of justifying the protest actions. I'm quoting this. And I think she put together a piece to influence the world on her agenda, basically. This is bullshit.
Harassment.
She reported the truth. It's a way of suppressing the press, and it's happened all along. I mean, you know, she's basically being penalized for doing her job and having ethics and integrity in doing so. If this goes much further, it's going to become a cause celebrity. Bet your dollar on that one. And I think it would be a really wonderful thing if somebody could influence a candidate to speak on this, because it would bring her a lot of people to listening ears, you know, that are still not convinced that she's going to do a good job for folks. So
Gwen, let me come full circle here and let's bring this around. That's what's so important about getting a change in our Supreme Court, because for the last 30 years we've had the conservative aspects, views, coming off of the Supreme Court that enables and allows this kind of abuse of power by those who don't want the truth to get out.
That's the most important thing about the election. Yeah, the most important thing is the Supreme Court, because the economic system and foreign affairs changes, but the Supreme Court, they stay for years and years. We just had the 25-year anniversary the other day of Clarence Thomas coming to the Supreme Court. 25 years. I think he's the worst justice we've had in the history of the Supreme Court, or at least in the 20th century and 21st. But it's 25 years, you know, so... Yeah, those people never leave, and you know, and his case, he's not even 70 yet. So they're going to have a big turnover even without him leaving. Maybe, although he might, there's some talk of that. I hope he would, but still, the others, there's so many others that are in the 80s or nearing 80s that it's important to have good people on the court.
The working middle class, and when I say working middle class, I'm talking about from 100,000 to 120,000 on down. And that wage range annually needs to have their voice put back into our decision-making processes here in this country.
And try to reverse Citizens United. Citizens United needs to be reversed.
That was a total pimping off of our country to the corporations.
They put labor unions into it, but the labor unions don't have the kind of money the corporations do.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, especially, these charter schools, people with vouchers, homeschooling and stuff, that was all to basically try to bust the teachers union.
You're right.
So, also, too, Gwen, let me interject here real quick while we're kind of on this. Here in Ohio, the official GOP is basically breaking their ties with Donald Trump.
And, of course, Kasich has. Governor Kasich has, too.
Yes, Kasich. Right, right. Well, that's kind of the official GOP aspects here in Ohio.
And that ensures, I think, Ohio will probably go blue. Wouldn't you think?
Well, I would. I'm not going to count my chickens before the eggs are hatched, Professor, but I would hope it's leaning that way.
Well, Florida is leaning that way. We all know, hey, I've already cast my vote, but
I did my write-in ballot just this past week and mailed it off on Wednesday.
Well, and we.
I wanted to mention the North Carolina and Georgia look like they're going to go blue, and there's some people thinking Arizona and Utah might. Utah because of the Mormons not liking Trump, and with a four-way race with Evan McMullen, the independent candidate, and also Gary Johnson there, you know, it's very close, but it means it's possible it could go to Hillary. So she could win four red states, and even if she loses one or two, like Ohio and Iowa, that are swing states, she's almost certain to keep the blue states. So I don't see how she could possibly not gain enough to win the election.
Well, like I said, I'm not going to jinx it by saying it, but Lord, let's hope so.
Well, we've got about 26 days left. And
23 days left, actually.
23 days. Well, don't let me pull a Trump. 23 days. But this is really I got a question for Ron. These Trump's supporters who are poll watching with arms already in places like Virginia and Pennsylvania, more out in the country, but at HRC campaign offices that are sitting outside with arms, you know, rifles slung over their shoulders.
The old Klan intimidation. Remember, guys, Trump supporters are the old Ku Klux Klan.
Well,
and they're. Go ahead.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. Well, no, there's some John Birch Society neo Nazis in there.
My question for you, Ron, is historically, has this occurred before? In what circumstance?
The way that it seems to be happening now, no. What was that?
Ron, you gotta keep your mouth away from the phone when you're doing the drinking.
I'm not drinking. I'm lying on a bed here.
I'm asking, when in history have we seen this particular set of circumstances?
Never quite like this, except in the South. I mean, at times there was intimidation of black voters in the years after Reconstruction when they were starting to vote, and then the vote was taken away. But nothing on the scale, at least reported, that we're hearing about now. And they're also trying to, of course, purge the voter lists in places like Ohio somewhat, and also in Wisconsin and elsewhere, so that people can't vote, you know.
Indiana, do you know what came to my mind when I read about these? The first thing that came to my mind were all those buses during the civil rights, all the civil rights poll workers that came from the Northeast down into Missouri and Louisiana and all the deep South.
Well, not so much Missouri, it's Mississippi and Alabama. The deep South, not Missouri, really, but in Mississippi, that's when those students from Queens College in 1964, Goodman and Schwerter were killed, along with James Chaney, an African-American young man. And those two people, I didn't know them, but they went to the school I went to. I was at Queens College at that time, and they were about my age, and they were killed. I didn't know them personally, but it was very personal when they got, killed in Mississippi in 1964.
Wow.
That's what filled my mind when I saw the news report that was a video from a local news station in Virginia, and then there was one either in Pennsylvania or Kentucky, someplace. That to me is more frightening than anything, and. If that were to start happening, I mean, there's only one day in elections. But I'm
well, except for early voting. There is early voting in most states. That's well, you know, so a lot of people who have voted before, they're ready voting.
Yeah, right. I know that they extended early registration. They're voting here in Ohio.
Well,
here in Florida, they gave another week for registration. Governor Scott didn't want it, but a circuit court judge, federal circuit court judge, ordered that until this coming Wednesday, people can register in Florida. But Scott was trying to prevent that.
I think North Carolina, too, Professor.
Yeah, well, North Carolina has gone really backwards. It was such a progressive-oriented state in recent years until the Republicans took over in 2012, and Pat McCrory has been absolutely horrific. And he's having a tough race now for re-election. I'm hoping he'll lose.
Yeah.
That the Senate seat will also go to the Democrats. But North Carolina has really shown what happens when you put a complete Republican legislature into a state that never had it, and it's gone backwards so badly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what repressive is.
I have a question from a listener, but I also have another. In fact, that listener gave us the title to this show. But I give you the question. What I really wanted to ask here is, isn't it basically the governor's protocol, or can the president step in if there's enough problems in early voting to say with, you know, this kind of poll watching? Can the president issue the protocol to have the National Guard come in and
That would be controversial as hell at the time of an election if he did it. I don't know if he could do that. It's really a state matter. The voting is on a state level.
I was going to say, the National Guard really falls under the governor of the state, if
yes.
I understand it right. Now, he can kind of instruct the governor to say, bring out your National Guard. You have an issue here. If you don't, I'll send it. Matter of fact, was it Wallace or one of the first kids, the black kids, started going to the high school? The National Guard.
That's Governor Orville Forbes of Arkansas, yes. And then
right,
Governor
Arkansas.
Ross Barnett of Mississippi, and then George Wallace, Alabama. We had three National Guard interventions under the Justice Department, 57, 62, 63.
But they were
highly controversial, but they were the right thing to do, yes.
Yeah.
The president could step in, and basically that would make a very big mess of the whole election. And I get it, but I wanted to bring the point up. I do want to put this question out. All the people that are on the Trump campaign in the cabal close to the orange mess, I read an excellent description of them as something like Tony had it. She called him some kind of orange Cheeto, but
Lord Cheeto is what I've heard. His royal master, Lord Cheeto.
But the cabal that is sitting around him, you've got Bossy, you've got Bannon, and you've got Roger Ailes in there, too. These are the people that are sitting closest to him. And the way the campaign is going and what is actually going on right now, what do you guys think? I mean, especially, Ron, you've studied all these elections and debates, and you're very familiar. And has there ever been, I mean, outside of Tammany Hall, which has nothing to do with presidential elections, I know, but, I mean, and of course there was the Kingfish down there.
Oh, yeah.
Huey Long in Louisiana, yeah.
Huey Long, yeah.
And I have a chapter in my assassinations book on his assassination, because he was the first presidential candidate who was assassinated.
And,
wow.
That's I've wondered about that one too. That would be terrible, my because I harm none. You know, you wish ill on no one. You just wish for karma.
I worry that there's a threat every day to both of them, Trump and Hillary. I really think there is. All you need is one nut out there, mentally ill, and you know it could be either side. I think I think even Trump is in danger and he doesn't realize it.
I got to tell you something. This makes me madder than hell. That orange Cheeto son of a bitch coming after Hillary on how she's maybe if she takes her time going up a stair or whatever. He's not wearing a 30-pound bulletproof vest under his clothing because he was not. he was absolutely not threatened the way she was.
Right. Well, that was Carl Rowe that got that shit started.
Out there, and she smiles, and she takes questions, and she listens. That's her gift. She's a listener, and she finds solutions. And that orange pile of crap is casting innuendo and stirring up people to take up arms. And she walks out every day, every time she hits daylight or moonlight, she is wearing a 30 to 35 pound vest on her. My God. And the woman had pneumonia? That dirty son of a bitch. I have to be so mad.
Yeah. And also, you got to remember that he twice has basically threatened her. And threatened violence. I've written on that on History News Network. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's never happened in the history of presidential campaigning.
Calling for her assassination from the pulpit.
Yeah.
That's third world dictatorship.
And this is what's going on. This is what's going on. What is happening is that facts are cast out without any kind of context with these WikiLeaks emails, and you've got a guy on the other hand that the press has been absolutely stumbling with because he keeps lying over and over and over again, and when they catch him in it, he lies over that, and it's gone on and on and on. Yet I will say I did see a video recently put out by Media Matters on CNN. And how they have egged this on with this Trump BS by putting on these paid bullshit artists for Trump.
Oh, they're terrible.
They're absolutely terrible.
And not only that, they don't shut up. You know, they ask a question. They keep on talking over the moderator constantly. And I noticed Mike Pence today was doing that on the different talk shows. He wouldn't stop talking when different moderators were trying to intervene. You know, same with Rudy Giuliani. He's beyond belief. He's like off the wall.
It's crazy enough to listen to Trump, and it sounds like another beer hall pushed. That's going on, and I hope you get my reference there, people.
Look it up. P-U-T-S-C-H. That's the way you pronounce it. P-U-T-S-C-H. Look it up.
Yes, P-U-T-S-C-H, yes. I've taught about it years ago, beer hall putsch, yeah. That's an interesting word, putsch.
Yeah.
Well, it's the fella that is at the top of it, mesmerizing people with fear and loathing. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing. He's mesmerizing people with fear and loathing, and he's using nothing but lies. He's not even as good as Hitler was. Let's put that on the table. Hitler actually knew some strategy. He actually had horrific policy.
It's very sad that the white poor whites and the lower middle class are so desperate, like in the Midwest and in the coal country, and they turn to Trump, a guy who has absolutely no interest or concern about them at all, and they don't get that he's manipulating them. They just don't get it. It's such a sad circumstance.
We used to have a saying years ago. Said if you can't dazzle them with brilliant, baffle them with bullshit.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and that's what Trump's doing. He's just baffling them with bullshit, and they're eating it up with a big spoon.
Obama addressed this on the campaign trail this last week, and he said, he was himself, and you couldn't deny that he was making the point. He was saying, here you got a guy who's telling you that global elites and this, that, and the other is ruining their lives and they're rigging the system against you and yada, 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 when all he's ever done is slap his name on something you built and has done his best to be one of those global elites. And he says, you're going to tell me you believe he's for the working people? It was Obama, and he said it. He said, come on, people.
Right.
Right.
Glenn, I love to tell the story. As a matter of fact, I published it on my one of my first blog sites, The Engineer of Knowledge, was in Atlantic City when he wanted to build the Taj Mahal. There was a little old lady, retired, who had her house, did not want to sell her house. It was paid for. It was hers. She wanted to live out her golden years there. She worked hard all her life. Bottom line short was he paid and influenced and basically, you know, embezzled or whatever. The government of New Jersey, local authorities, to condemn her house, throw eminent domain on it, and paid a fraction of what he had offered her even to begin with. So basically, they took that little old lady's house out from under her. She got nothing for it. He built a parking lot. And, of course, where is the Taj Mahal right now? In the swirling toilet bankruptcy. It is heading down the vortex as faster than a brown turd.
No conscience at all. That's a terrible thing, you know.
Stole that house from that woman through legal, from basically governmental paid off means.
So I'm thinking you guys think that Bossy and Bannon and Roger Ailes are the perfect cabal for this kind of a chiseling, fraudulent, you know, money grubbing SOB that has basically, I mean, you ask any of the people who are independent contractors in Palm Beach County, what kind of a business Donald Trump is. And he says he's so damn pleased to tell people that he allowed blacks and Asians. And
He did it in Queens County in 1973. He had to be forced by the courts to do that.
Do you know why he did that? He was blackballed. He can't even walk into the Sailfish Club today. He was blackballed in Palm Beach. People didn't surround him. They didn't like him. They knew who he was and what he did. So he bought his way into affluence the way he always does. You know, and all the people that go to Mar-a-Lago, the majority of them that regularly go to Mar-a-Lago, are not really residents of the community, except as ex-wife. You know, that's just, that's the way. This guy has put so many people out of business that is just a way of doing. And you know, we all know by now what you have to sign in order to go to work for him. I mean, is that incredible or not? You basically can't squat or say, how'd you do anything that says anything about Trump if you work for the guy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, also, his business dealings cannot stand the light of day. It's like a cockroach. As soon as you turn that light off, they scramble.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the Central Park Five case about those five kids who were blamed for a rape and then found not to be guilty. He still says in the last week or so, or 10 days, he said he still believes they were guilty and that they were definitely, you know, the person who was involved, the people involved, did confess later. And it's just unbelievable how he did this that to these black teenagers. You know, it's he has no conscience. He's really a sick puppy, you know.
Well, what do you think is going to happen with our House and our Senate? Do you think that there's a good chance we could take the House back?
House, I don't think take back, but I think there'll be a gaining of seats. But it's a tremendous amount of seats to gain 30. I don't think that's going to happen. But the Senate, I think it will definitely be taken back by the Democrats. But the question is how many seats, because if they don't gain enough seats, then 2 years from now, when most of the seats are Democratic seats to be defended, the Republicans would probably gain back to control in 2 years. So it'd be better if the Democrats could gain a larger margin. That I don't know if they're going to be able to do more than maybe 51 or 52 seats, which if they could be up to 55 or 56, then it would be a better chance that they could keep it, even if they lost a few seats in 2018.
Well, it's really a difficult call. I realize that. But, things could tumble. The worse it gets for these Republicans, there's very little time. But what else can happen? You know, it's like, it's a bad question to ask. I realize that. But what else can happen, Ron? You're
well, I tell you something. I've been reading that the Russian government's been telling its employees to come home and bring their kids home from the United States. There's an implication of a military crisis that maybe Putin is planning. And I think, you know, when I heard that, I thought, wow, think back. 1948, when Truman was running, we had the Berlin blockade and airlift.
Right.
In 1956, we have the Hungarian Revolution, right at the time of Eisenhower running for a second term. In 1968, when, of course, Johnson had dropped out, but Nixon and Humphrey and Wallace were running, we had the Czechoslovakian takeover by the Soviets,
yep.
You know, in 1968. And then in 1980, of course, we have the Afghanistan invasion at the very end of 79 going into 80 when Carter was running. You know, when you think of that, and also the problems in, you know, in the Ukraine the last few years, it's a common theme for the Russians to try to cause problems around election time.
I was going to say, if I were to give a betting man, I'd say Ukraine is going to be his next move because, like I told you a couple years ago. Go ahead, Gwen.
He's got way too many financial problems at this moment on the home front. I mean, you know, crisis time financial problems over there. That's what you get when you're a dictator and tyrant and you run your economy through a mafia. But
he loves him. Trump loves Putin, doesn't he?
Yes. Oh, he was going to have Putin come over here and campaign with him. Let's not forget that. He was going to have Putin come over here and campaign with him because he's a strong leader. And he could work with Putin.
And to think the Republican Party, the party of Joseph McCarthy of the Red Scare, what would he, if he was here, say about Trump if Joseph McCarthy was here?
What a perfect analogy.
Let's not forget the equality here between a McCarthy and a Trump, both addicts. Trump is addicted to his own ego. He's a sociopath.
Yeah, I don't want to have that test of his drug. I bet he is taking something. He wanted to have a drug test for Hillary, but what would the drug test show about him, I wonder?
I do not think he is a drug addict. I don't think he was doing cocaine. I think he suffers from sinus condition and his posture is weight. He's got a belly that's pulling
him. I'd have to give him that, too, because if I were on stage, I'd be a snotting and a sniffling, too.
What I do think is going on here is that the parallels between McCarthy and Trump were brought up eloquently by Michelle Obama when she said human decency was the basic part of the equation here. Human decency. And what he has been doing has been indecent, and it will cost the Republicans. It's cost them a fracture of their party, and that's not good for Democrats. That's not good for anybody. But maybe it's the shakeup that the world needs in order to make things ultimately get better. I don't know. I know I keep working my end of the world, you know. One of the things that I've seen people so fearful, people so apprehensive of one another. Not up here so much, but I know down south it was getting that. And the energy down there is just oppressively dark. And it's society. And the thing is, we've forgotten that the most important thing is just being kind to one another and how much it can do. And a guy like Trump, that's an anathema to him. He can't handle kindness. And when Hillary does not go for the baiting, when she stands strong and true to her causes and issues and behaves like a president next to him, he just sandbags himself so much. It's really, take a look. I mean, 90-something, like 1%. It topped out on all of the major news polls that Hillary won that last debate. But he claimed victory because he bullied his way through it and lied.
Right.
And he had to have known that he was taking that chance when he said that he never had done that, that women were going to come forth. what are these people? I go back to the central question from the questioner, which says, you know, hey, what is this cabal around him? Roger Ailes, Bannon, Bassi, all of these ugly, ugly human beings around him. What are they thinking? What is their strategy? All out, all right, hate and terror. I mean,
yeah.
That's what's going on here. How do you run a country that way? How? What's the plan, boy? What's
there
the
is
plan?
No plan to run a government. That's the problem.
No,
he has no idea what he would do.
You know, like I said.
Ron, what, I mean, who has ever been elected to office? I mean, come on. Bush had Cheney and Cheney. I mean, who? What team has ever been elected to office that was this absolutely? I mean,
I think the closest might be Nixon with Haldeman and Ehrlichman, although we didn't realize it right away, but I think that was about the worst we've ever had as far as close people to a president.
Right, right. Well, and of course, you have to include Rumsfeld and Cheney in that group, too.
Well, that's true. That would be a second. Bush, too, with Rumsfeld and Cheney, yes. That's
right,
true. You
right,
got a good
right.
point
well,
there,
yeah.
yes.
But they were also on Nixon's staff at that time. Basically, Cheney's quote was, the thing that he learned from Watergate was, destroy the tapes. That's why, over, was it 12 million emails were destroyed before they left office on all their evidence of going to war on bullshit charges? They knew, that, I knew myself personally because I heard it with my own ears, that they knew there was no weapons of mass destruction out there. It was just trying to get a hold of the control of the oil wells. I heard that with my own ears.
Well, and that's
yes.
one of the things that Donald says we did wrong. We didn't take their oil. You know, go over there and conquer them and take the oil and then let them have it back but keep the oil. How do you do that? I mean, the guy,
yeah, you know.
He's not a brain trust. He really isn't a brain trust. They say he's one of the most gifted, talented celebrities. You know, as far as I can tell so far, being a celebrity has absolutely nothing to do with brains. But
Gwen, I would put it in parallel with the Kardashians, okay?
Yeah.
And my apologies to the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Really? And then
famous for simply being famous.
Who comes out for Hillary this week? But I mean, it was okay that Poppy and W. Bush said we're going to vote for Hillary, but when Donald Rumsfeld said it, it was slimy. I mean, that's just slimy. And you got to
Rumsfeld said he's going to vote for Hillary too.
He supports Hillary. Yeah.
No, actually, I read that was not true. I read that was a myth, that actually he's supporting Trump.
Oh,
I've seen both. I think that's not true that he's supporting.
Yeah.
And I frankly don't want him to. Who
yeah.
wants him to support?
Right, exactly. And I don't want him on the team. I know that Daddy Bush, Barbara, W. Bush, and Laura, and of course all the previous Democrats of Carter and his wife, have come out publicly and saying we are voting for Hillary Clinton.
And also Michael and Ron Reagan Jr., who said
yes,
their father
yes.
would be appalled at what's going on. Yes.
Well, and you've heard me say this too. My 150-year legacy of belonging to the Republican Party, both of
yes.
my parents would be totally mortified of where it is today.
And what would Jack Kemp say?
Oh, yeah. Jack Kemp thought he controlled whipping up the nut jobs, and no, that backfired him, as I told him back in 2005.
Yeah.
Well, here's another.
I think Betty Ford, if she was here, would also speak out. She was such a great first lady, too, Betty Ford.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Gerald Ford, yeah.
Here's another thing, too. We've got a comment from the listening room here, and Obama served on as a board member, and this came out during his election the first time in 08 with William Ayers, who was notoriously part of the Weather Underground organization.
Yeah, right.
That stuff happens. That's called politics. It doesn't mean that the man was standing, and we've argued this one before. This is, throw whatever you can at the wall and see what sticks kind of stuff.
Right.
And there's a lot of that going on, but I don't. Yeah. Oh my God. Really? Yeah. Oh my God. Really? You? Yes. I mean, yeah. It is true that basically he did sit on a board with the he was an elementary school teacher. I mean, you know, gee, my God, it's like people just look for anything here. Look for anything.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about things that happened. Basically, we're not discussing what happened 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 8 years ago. Basically, what we're talking about is what's going on right now in this presidential election and what is folded into that. You know, I've listened to Hillary Clinton apologize for using the wrong email carrier. I've watched her sit for 11 hours on Trump against a committee. Oh, boy. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to keep up the conversation there because my end is a little strange.
Okay. I was going to say, go ahead, Professor. You carry the load here.
That William Harris set bombs in the country. That's Obama's fault. And Obama...
Well, everything's Obama's fault. Don't
you
know that?
Say. Even when the hurricane hit Florida, that was a whipped up liberal thing.
Of course it was, yeah.
I swear to God. If people will take anything they can. 27... Well, that's not true. That's bullshit. She didn't have 27 person servers. That's wrong. She had two emails. One was on a personal server, one was on her state server. So, you know, and do you think, really, given the Russians more work to search these out?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we got. I guess it's up to the United States to keep the Russians employed, because Putin sure can't.
You're going after the hammer handle. In the chapter, but the thing is, what is going on in the moment, you know?
What do you mean, what is going on in the moment? I'm not sure what you mean.
What I mean is this election right now, here today, this election, what is going on, and
as far as how the result will be, you mean, in 3 weeks?
Well, no. What I'm talking about...
Or just the atmosphere. Just the atmosphere of the election?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the mudslinging and all of that.
I think one of the worst things that's going on is bullying of kids who are disabled or Hispanic or black or fat or whatever, you know, because after all, the kids could say, well, Trump does it, so why can't we do it? And
yeah,
I think that's starting to cause real troubles in discipline.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of teachers making that comment of, you know, had a little a dark-skinned kid. You know, you don't know if he's from India, Afghanistan, Mexican, right? But because his skin's a little darker than the other kids, they converge on him and just beat him up and stuff. Because
Italian.
And they're hearing this crap from their parents.
Are great.
It's Trump, their parents, on down. And that's totally unacceptable.
Well, and the other part of all this is, too, and I'd like to know what you think about this, Ron.
Yes.
As this election quickens and we see all of this back and forth going on, Mike Pence seems to be striding right alongside, as you were pointing out earlier. He overtalked Chuck Todd this morning like nobody's business. Just overtalked him.
They keep on talking. They won't shut up. They ignore the questions. That's what's going on, yeah.
They misdirect the information. They'll say, oh, yeah, well, and then they go right into another path. They do not speak to the issues of the moment or the issues of the campaign.
Correct.
Is talk about how bad Hillary is, what she has done, what Barack Obama has done. And they never.
Yeah, we have about 30 seconds left, I think. So I just wanted to say we have to close up.
Actually, we have 15 minutes more than that. But
oh, an extra 15 minutes? Oh, okay. An hour and 15 minutes, huh?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, that's fine. I was just letting you know. I didn't want us to be cut off in mid-sentence.
But they never speak about the issues. But it needs to
Gwen, they have no answers. They have no policies. They have no plan. All it is their only plan is throw out enough crap, over-talk, just keep feeding them baffling bullshit, and let's hope Hillary doesn't get elected. That is their only game plan.
I see. It's just the standard Republican line.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it basically,
it's just like that.
That's what's become the standard Republican line. And then Mitch McConnell goes back and gives Obama shit for not telling them that when they pushed through against this veto, the lawsuits against the Saudis, that they opened our military up to the same thing in the European and world war. No,
absolutely.
They gave them a heads up. They just didn't listen. They had their heads securely stuck, you know where. And they didn't listen. This is what Republican politics has become. It began right after Eisenhower died.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with Barry Goldwater is where it all really kind of started. And again, it's the black guy president's fault. He didn't tell
us
that this would happen. He did, you know, excuse me. You're supposed to be in the stratification that you would take these things into consideration when you're putting in laws, asking to be passed, and passing them. All it was to try to shove something up the president's tuchus. And when they did is they've now opened up all of our military personnel, our brave soldiers and women in the military, to these kind of lawsuits.
Reminds me of what Trump has said about veterans is terrible and, you know, people disabled by war and POWs. It's just beyond belief. Would have anybody run for office saying things like that?
Yeah, soldiers with or military men and women with post-traumatic syndrome, they were just a bunch of big sissies and weren't tough enough to take it. Yeah. Says the man who ran off screaming when he got a draft notice like a little girl. Sorry to all little girls.
Well, and one of the most terrible things that they've come out with here has been when Trump was answering the question and he said, you know, some of you can handle it with the vet, you know. We've got this terrible thing. It's awful. It's just awful. It's terrible that our vets are committing suicide 20, 22 a day. But, you know, some of you are out there in the field, you can handle it, while others just can't. And that kind of tactic has been something they've been working for like 10 years to turn around, to bring back to the, you know, back to the point of view that everybody is harmed in war mentally and emotionally, and there's a recovery for it.
Yes.
So when this happens, when you get a guy like Trump saying these things that do irreparable damage to some people, you know, I mean, it's just when you consider that there is a cadre of the vets that are standing by him. And it's just... And then, of course, you've got the goddamn fools who think that Hillary's going to be a globalist who's going to flood the nation with Muslims and the whole of Latin America.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's all, and of course, there's that the one world order. They're going to pimp us off and sell us out to the one world order. Whatever the hell that means.
I would like to see where this guy's, you know, his ancestors come from. Are they Cherokee? Are they... You know, are they Chickasaw?
Yeah.
Are they Seneca? I mean, this kind of crap is ignorance. And this kind of ignorance will, you know, will absolutely ruin the whole Constitution, and that's another thing. He doesn't know anything about our Constitution.
My favorite on that, Gwen, is, well, if a child is born here in this country, the quote-unquote anchor babies, right? Well, if their parents just weren't, you know, American citizens, they just came over the border here and had it, right? That was established at the founding of this country. If you were born in this country, you are an American citizen. Trump doesn't
get to
decide whether or not, because he doesn't happen to like that your parents came over here from Mexico or Latin America.
And
you were born in this country, you're an American citizen, period.
That's correct, yep.
We're actually sitting here pronouncing on a very stupid topic, because intelligent people and caring people, and I'm not talking about people who have solid big educations. I'm talking about people who have common decency and common sense, which is most Americans. Most Americans are good people, and they don't wish harm on their neighbors, and they don't fear their neighbors because of the color of their skin. We have come a long way. It is true. It is a very small faction, and that small faction happens to find its way to Trump rallies every place he goes. You know?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that these Trump rallies, journalists are being threatened a lot of the time, you know, and like Katie Turr of MSNBC had to be escorted out by the Secret Service because she was being threatened, you know?
They're having a hard time. The Secret Service is having a very hard time because of this Cheeto.
Yeah.
Someday, in the distant future, Secret Service will write about what it was like to have to work with Trump.
Oh, there will be a tell-all book, and it's not going to be flattering at all. It's going to be sick.
No.
It's going to start off with, hey, can you really believe this shit? Well, let me tell you. You know, that's going to be the first line.
Yeah, it's all about that. His son, Donald Jr., and also Eric, they're saying craziest things like if a woman can't deal with sexual harassment, she shouldn't be in the workforce. Isn't that a crazy thing to say? And we have federal laws, and you know, and I've taught at several universities and colleges. I had to pass a sexual harassment, you know, course and all that. So what's the stuff about that? If you can't handle harassment, you shouldn't be in the workforce? That is amazing for somebody in his 30s, which after all the Trump sons are, to be saying.
Right.
You know.
I myself have worked in the industry basically my whole life. And we were always, you know, human resources, you know, be considerate of others. Be conscientious of what you say, because what you may think is innocent enough can be quite offending to a woman.
Yeah.
You know, just be conscious of what you're saying, right? Because they do have meaning. And then you have, you know, the Bobbsey twins of, you know, the demon seeds of Trump coming out and saying stuff like that. It's like, obviously, you have not had to be a responsible adult in industry and business.
Well, and professional women especially for the last 30 years, and it still goes on every day. I know several Facebook women who have been, you know, those Facebook friends, but they're good friends. I've known them for years on that social media. And they're saying, you know, what Michelle Obama said is exactly true. I mean, you have people, you know, the boss who comes in and leans too close and makes you uncomfortable and basically just, you know, predators. It's predators, and for you know our grandmothers and great grandmothers had to deal with this kind of thing, and if they wanted to keep their salary, and
I was gonna say, if they wanted to keep their job, they had to put up with it. They might even put up with a grope, you know.
It's just hey, especially for middle class women who can't afford to lose their job. There was a well written piece from the New York Times yesterday about this is what dictatorship will look like. And it was the topic, the person in the article was a woman who's, I think she's from Colombia, but she's been here all her life. And she's an American citizen, and She lost a decent job during the meltdown of 07 and 08. And she's been working a few jobs to keep her home. She works in the, you know, Mill Valley or the Menlo Valley area, you know, there in Facebook territory and stuff.
Right.
And she dropped waiting for a bus or whatever because she's working two jobs. For the first time in her whole life, she's heard people telling her in her neighborhood, a white man turning to her saying, "You don't belong here. You're not white." This is what's happening in our country with the people who had to swallow their racism. They've had to swallow because it's socially not acceptable any longer. But this freaky bastard has made it part of the conversation, made it part of the, and so society now, the consciousness of America, and it extends out to all of our allies. And hell, that's most of the world, and everybody is really, and it's going on. It's going on. This kind of unrest is going on in some countries all over the world because of the inequality financially and all kinds of other factors. And let's not forget the Brexit thing over there. That's hate. That's fear. That's fear of the other. And this is making our global consciousness very dark and very, you know, it's anxiety ridden. That's my point. It's anxiety.
Right.
You know?
Very good, Gwen. I mean, you've nailed it. I can't improve or say anything more on that. You've nailed it. It's and that's really, I guess, if you want to make it as another true issue of this election is this kind of thinking, this kind of normalization of racism and hate has
and
to
sexism
be,
too and misogyny.
And sexism, thank you, Professor. Right, has to be sent out as a message. This is not acceptable. You are not correct. You are a Neanderthal. You need to change, because if you don't, you're going to really be losing in life.
It's a truth.
Yeah, I must say, civil rights and feminism, I suppose it would change you things, but after 50 years, is it really changed? In a way, yes. In many ways, no.
Well,
it just boggles my mind.
In civil society, it has. In nice society, it has. You know, it's just that basically what's happened is that those people in society that are, you know, still around, they've had to swallow their racism and swallow their prejudice.
Yep.
And now they feel entitled to let it go. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman, what color you are, your religious affiliation. Oh, my God.
Gwen, when I was home and around Labor Day, someone was going to come at me because I wasn't going to support Trump. He was. This guy I've known since I was 15 years old. He was a little older than I was. He's probably like around 70. And I can't believe you're not in front of Trump. I said, the only one supporting Trump right now is the Ku Klux Klan. And I'm damn proud of it. And I said, and that's the most obnoxious and idiotic thing I think I've ever heard you come out of your mouth since I've known you.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then I cocked back the hammer and I let him have it with all bells. And by the time he was done, and we were in a quick shop, you know, with like the buzzard bench, you know, just kind of the old guys hanging out and stuff. And basically, very calmly, I told him, pointed out his information he's getting, because he gets it all from Fox News, how 60 to 80% of what he's hearing is totally inaccurate. It's either a lie, misleading, or, you know, meant to be misleading and a lie. And I said, I'm going to tell you a little, I'm going to give you a little quote. I said, you like Reagan, didn't you? Oh, yeah, I like Reagan. I said, all right, one of Reagan's famous quotes are, it's not so much what you know, it's what you know that ain't so. And I pointed at him real forcefully, and I said, and that's your issue.
Well,
then he decided he had to go run his business.
The thing is that these people will never know different unless they have what they call the come to Jesus moment, or
yeah.
the psychological fracture, where there is such a tragedy that it brings their heart to a place where they understand,
yes.
where they accept
yeah.
it now. And I don't that
we're running out of time now. Yeah.
It's for each person that is a unique thing. We are running down. And Ron, would you please tell people where they can find your books and the name of your books?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, Roman Littlefield. It'll be out in paperback in March for $17.95. And right now, hardcover, it's at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million.
Wonderful. And where can they find you online?
At theprogressiveprofessor.com and on Facebook under Ronald Feynman and on Twitter under Politist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T.
You know, I have to tell you, Ron, you have a fan in the chat room and she wants me to remind you that she's saying hello and cheering you on. You know,
Monique, right? I'm sure it's Monique.
Is she? Yeah.
Hello there, Monique.
Yes, this is Wayne Johnson, Monique, and you're fantastic, girl. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, and I really enjoyed being with both of you tonight.
Well, right back at you. Like I said, you and I've got a long history together, and we're going to keep it up.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
All right. Good night, all. It's been a pleasure.
Good night.
And everybody, keep pressing forward. We need to progress. That's the big word, progress. And I do wish Jack Jodell, who I know will listen to this sometime later, a very healthy week ahead, that he recovers and that things go better for him this next week. He's been awful with the allergies and stuff.
I
can really relate to it. And thank you, Wayne. And
yep.
I know you and I will be here next week.
Yep. All right, good night, all.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
This has been Here Be Monsters Radio. This was a Sunday show. I'm Gwen Berry, and thank you for listening.